You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, your host, and I'm looking forward to this episode as we get into some things about leadership. We're going to get into some best practices of and trends that are happening in children's family ministry and all those kind of things, as well as talk about something new that's been recently being promoted. It's called Ministry Boost. I've got two of the three guys that are part of that ministry that's helping children's ministry, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, the whole what we call next gen world. And I'm really excited about it. Had an opportunity to be a part of some of their latest webinars and hangouts, and I just think it's some really great stuff. And so I wanted our KMC community to hear about this and to check it out, because they're offering some fantastic things that you need to check out. So at the end, we'll be talking a lot more about that. But I've got Kevin Monahan from 12 Stone Church and Nick Blevins. Nick, I just forgot where you're at. I know you're in Maryland.
Community Christian Church.
There we go.
Community Christian Church. And I was just thinking, you said you have two of the three guys. I think, Kevin, he's got the best two.
Right.
I get two. Kenny who?
Yeah. Kenny Connolly. I don't even know.
Yeah. You know, he's just a blogger. He's not.
He's just a blogger. Yeah, but you can see we're a tight-knit team. That we look stick out for each other. And he's just bad.
In the end, he's just eye candy, man.
We got to make sure we send him a direct link to this recording. That's for sure. Now
absolutely.
That's why we don't use the video anymore. He's too beautiful for the video. We couldn't have handled it.
But he would love to hear that. I think he wants his money.
Don't let him know that, man.
I'll scrub that part. We'll edit this. Anyway, hey guys, thanks for coming on. Nick, welcome back. You've been on before, but Kevin, this is your first time on the KMC. So I'd love for you guys just to share a little bit about yourselves and your ministries and what you do. So
yeah,
Kevin, you go first.
Tom, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. This is my first time on here. It's great to be with you and your listeners. Like I said, my name is Kevin Monahan. I get the privilege and honor of serving Next Gen Ministry at 12 Stone Church in the greater kind of Atlanta, Gwinnett area in Georgia. And we are an 8-campus church, and I work with newborns and nursery, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, college, and young adults. So all in that kind of area. And I've been there for almost 7 years. Love what I get to do. Love the people I get to work with even more. And, man, it's great providing leadership and coaching and direction for those ministries. And I've been doing this. Next summer will be 25 years since I started.
All right.
As a summer intern, a middle school summer intern, way back in the day. And so I love what I get to do. And thanks for having us on here, man. It's great. Anytime we get to partner with other leaders and pastors, it's a privilege. So thank you.
Cool. All right, Nick.
Yeah, I'll go, I guess. I'm Nick. My wife, Jeff, I've been married for 13 years. We have two kids, but we have a third on the way due in 1 month.
Woohoo!
In fact, my wife had a doctor's appointment this morning and was really hoping. They were like, hey, it looks like you're kind of ready. Let's go now. And I was like, nope, not at all. So, you know, unfortunately, she's got to wait longer. And I'm the next-gen pastor at Community Christian Church, leading, you know, preschool from, you know, kids from babies all the way up through high school and into the young adult college years. And our church was a church plant, actually, 12 years ago. We've fortunately been part of helping start 50 other churches, and most of them in our area in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, which has been a lot of fun. I get to do some things with that, which I really love because I love seeing new churches start.
Excellent. So, all right, so both of you guys serve as Next Gen pastors, and you guys have started Ministry Boost, and you're starting doing some fantastic networking and connecting of leaders And what's cool is it's leaders of all different sized churches. I don't want anybody to think this is just a mega church, multi-site kind of thing. I really, like I said, you're going to want to check this out, gang. But I'm just curious, as you guys have gotten into this and as you guys have been around, the country a little bit and talking to leaders from around the country, I'm just curious, cause I like to ask this question when people come on the program, what are some of the current trends and things that you're seeing, some of the best practices out there that you just are like, you know, boy, this is really, you know, interesting to see. Can be good, can be bad. We'll take them both. Nick, why don't you jump in first?
Well, it's hard because I think one thing about church world is we're not so much with the new trends, you know what I mean? Or like there could be, and there's certain churches, I think of Life Church, that's like always innovating. But a lot of times it's not like the new app or something that becomes popular, the new game, and then it's so popular, it blows up, and 6 months later it's kind of gone. In church world, it's like something that was new and innovative and is happening. It takes 10 years or more to find its way to a lot of churches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think about this is something that is not new, I don't think. But I was with the church, working with the church this week, and they're still moving towards trying to have less programming, you know, for their kids' ministry, not having multiple options every week, and then they're competing against each other. They have small groups in their elementary environment, which they love. And again, that's not new, but it's new for them, newer, you know, for them. The focus on parents is something everybody is always talking about. Again, doesn't feel new, but I think the different ways people are trying to get at that. I got two emails this week of somebody saying, hey, we did this event, kind of like a phase event using the phase resources from Orange, and it was great. We loved it. We're looking to do what's next, and they know we did one too, and that's what we were doing. And so they're looking at how can we equip parents more. And so I think that's some of the things, even the next gen pastor role that Kevin and I serve in still seems very new. You know what I mean? And a lot of churches are moving to that model. I got an email this week. Somebody said, I'm new. I'm 1 month in. You know, what do I do? You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny because in some ways there's people who've been doing it for a decade. And then there's tons of churches that I think a lot of those things I just mentioned, they're still new. So I love seeing like the truly brand new innovative stuff, but it is hard to find.
Right.
Yeah, I'll jump in after that. I think Nick's got some really great ideas of that. I'm a little bit more into, like, I love looking at trends and seeing what works. I mean, one of my mantra in ministry has always been best idea wins. So whether that comes from a large church or a small church or anything like that, it really doesn't matter. And there's some really great volunteer leaders. There's some great students. Some of my best practices I've gotten from being a student or messing up as a father and being like, oh, man, if I mess up, maybe there's another parent that's out there. And then finding, like, wow, there's a lot more people that would love to know how to do that. I think two things that I'm looking at that are kind of newer trends, because that you ask is, and Nick touched on a little bit, is this sense of organizational unity. I think a lot of churches, it was kind of like children's ministries over here, and student ministries over here, and creatives over here, and the pastors over here, and everybody kind of works together. And we all love Jesus, and we all love the same church, but I think there's an intentionality and a strategy that I see a lot of people thinking, man, if we work together, we're just going to be better. And there's this sense of even a meeting together. I remember when I got into this a long time ago, there were times where I never even met. I was a student pastor. I never spent any time with children's ministry or production or anything like that. And so I think seeing this aspect of creating the next gen pastor or family pastor role is a step in that direction of saying, hey, now there's somebody who can be a champion of every age group and kind of give vision and direction and just kind of like corral us all together with alignment and strategy and focus of, hey, let's all go in the right direction. So I see that. And then the other one I'm really, really excited about is just the use of technology. And of course, we've all used, you know, technology and stuff like that. And 15 years ago, and it was like, oh, now we're doing Planning Center and ProPresenter and all those kind of things. But it's interesting. In the last probably year or so, I've always talked to next-gen pastors, children's pastors and leaders, and they're talking about hiring people. And a question that's so new in the last year and a half is, man, is this staff person have some basic competency in social media, in platforms that reach outside the church? Because – for a long time, it was like, hey, can this person teach? And can they, you know, exegete scripture well? And are they moral? And all those things are still true. But I think there's a skill set that's required for people now that has to do with, man, can they reach students and can they reach families and parents with the use of technology? Because we all know this. I mean, we've been, Ministry Boost is doing these tribe conversations of getting us all together, like preschool people, college people, and student ministry and all that stuff, and getting everybody together. And we may get 50, 60 people in a room live, but then we can multiply that by 20, 30, 40 times by using social media platforms. And we have I've got a middle schooler and a high schooler, and I mean, they're raised on YouTube. And so using these things as tools to communicate, man, it expands your reach in this sense. And it doesn't matter what size, you know, church that you're at. One of my favorite examples that I've seen used in a small church or even larger churches is this idea of equipping parents and partnering with parents, like using technology. Uh-huh. So in student ministry, you can sign up for you can like text your name or sign up for this to get a text every week, and about 15 minutes before the middle school service or the high school service ends, or we're going to start actually doing this about 8 or 9 in the morning on Sundays, you can get a text as a parent, and it just says, hey, parents, ask your kid this question on your way home. And it has directly to do with the content that they were being taught. So now as a parent, when my kid's hopping in, I got a question that's not just, how was it? Or did you have fun? Or did you know, those are important questions, but like I can integrate technology and help me connect better with my family. And so I think the use of technology is becoming so valuable, and right-sizing that too, right? Because it, when you use something good, there's also this potential for people to use it too carelessly, or, you know, like I still don't think there's any reason like a 30-year-old leader should be texting, you know, somebody at 11 o'clock at night, especially if they're the opposite gender. I'd freak out as a parent if I walked in and like my 12-year-old daughter's getting a text from a 40-year-old man. So we got to figure all that out, and there's this kind of yin yang of figuring it. But I really think I'm looking at the trends of how churches, no matter their size, no matter their demographic, how they're using technology to reach this generation.
Wow.
I think I needed Kevin to talk a little bit because there's some things I thought of that I wrote down, but when I looked at the list, very few of them are specific to family ministry. You know what I mean? So I think about, Kevin talked about the technology. Like I've seen tons of churches, we've been using Facebook ads to try to reach, you know, our community a lot over the last couple of years. And we've seen some good success with it. Some of it's an experiment too. We're even using what I'm doing now more. I've only done it a few times, and we're starting to do it more, is we will upload. Because in Facebook, you can upload an email list and make a custom audience of that email list. So I uploaded all of our middle school parents' emails into a list. And so I created an audience of middle school parents at our church. And then I created an ad for our middle school parenting class, our phase class for middle school, and just targeted that just to them. Other words, it was another way to get in front of them. It's not like, you know, our church, like many churches, we don't do a ton of announcements, so all the things we do in family ministry aren't going to get talked about from stage. We have to find creative ways to do that. Email marketing, churches are doing that, where they're even outside the church, right, trying to give something away that's valuable to people in the community, and then they sign up with their email, and then later they invite them to something that's very outward focused and helpful for them. I see a ton of churches, and this again is not new, but I don't feel like it's that prevalent, where they're taking video snippets of their sermon or whatever, put it on Instagram and Facebook. And there was a couple times, I want to say last year, might have been 2 years ago, that the church that helped start our church, one of the largest churches in the state, they had a couple video snippets that made it online of their pastor preaching, maybe 5-minute thing. And one of them actually was, they had done a series about It's Just a Phase. And so it was the illustration of the marbles. And it got shared and liked. And there were people that I went to high school with who I know don't go to church who like that, watched it, commented on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, that is really cool that this is reaching people who are not a part of any church in this area, and how much that thing spread. I don't know about you guys, but I know I've heard, you know, Saddleback does some online things with their kids ministry, where like even the kids ministry stuff can be seen online. I'm not sure if it's live. I've tried to dig into that. But those are some examples where I think, you know, technology is being used in a different way by churches. But again, I still think it's a very small percentage that are doing it.
Yeah. I've got a good friend, Dave Truitt, back in PA, that he Facebook Lives his kid stuff that he does, which is his kids' church, and he Facebook Lives it each week, and has been getting, you know, getting some contacts from that. You know, it comes little by little. It's not an overwhelming response or anything, but I know he's seen some families come, and at least people are viewing it, and or if they've missed a service, the kids can go back and watch and still feel plugged in. So yeah, I love that, guys. And I do think, you know, it doesn't matter what size church, any church can use Facebook or Instagram. Just got to find somebody, you know, find some teenagers. I mean, I know for our church, the team that is killing it with our social media, with Instagram and Facebook and all of that, they're all 20 somethings. Yeah. And they know that world. Me, I'm a 50 something. And this isn't my world. I'm having to retrofit myself. I'm having to dig in and watch a lot of videos to learn. Because I want to stay in tune with that. I want to lead well. I want to have a basic understanding. And so I think any leader with some effort can dig into some of this kind of stuff and say, yeah, I need to leverage this. How can I leverage this? What can our, you know, how about boost, you know, what does it mean to boost your post? And look into some of that and how to target. There are people out there that can help with that. And anyway.
And sometimes you just need to do this, you need to research that yourself. Yep. Yesterday, you know, as part of Ministry Boost, we're partnered with Orange to do coaching. We used to do mastermind groups on our own, and now we're kind of doing coaching groups with them. And Jim Wyman is one of the coaches they've had that he'll be doing another group this year. And I had to call him to talk about that. And he was telling me about just an example where we had talked with another in a group of leaders one time. Somebody's asking about using ProPresenter or something like that and didn't know what to do or whatever. And Jim was like, and here I go. I just start Googling, find a couple of instructional videos. And his point was, anybody can do that. Like, you know,
right.
You should, you know, use the group for what you can use it for. But it doesn't matter age, experience, whatever. There's enough help out there for most of this kind of stuff that you can learn how to do it. You know,
yeah.
Put the time in.
Hey, let me jump in. I think one other idea that I'm super excited about in seeing too is this collaboration amongst churches. I mean, you guys have just kind of, you know, skimmed across it, but when you look on Facebook and you look on some of these groups and some of the tribe conversations and some of that stuff, there are people that are going like, hey, I don't know how to do this. And next thing you know, there's 10 people that they've never met from various parts of the world coming in and being like, hey, this is what I did. And I'm sharing this and I'm sharing best practices across the country. And so I think there's two things that I'm excited about in that. First of all, that churches are asking for help, because I feel sometimes people are like, there's this bravado that we have to front that says, man, I've got everything together and my church is doing great. And I think that what's really neat, especially in the online community, people are saying, hey, listen, I'm not really great at this. Can you help me? Because my strength may be somebody else's weakness. And there's that. So I'm excited about like us saying, hey, I need help in this area. And the last thing, you know, like a trend that I'm really passionate, my education is a lot more in counseling, is the church really looking at mental health issues. And I think some churches have done it really, really well. And I think some of us have not and done that. But I think I'm excited about the opportunity to, you know, if people with, you know, suicide, depression, anxiety, of really stepping forward and saying, hey, even if it's just I know 5 or 6 counselors in my area that I can refer somebody to and kind of be a bridge to getting people the support and the care that they need, I think that's a step in the right direction. I think I think there's always a spiritual problem, but there's also physical stuff that can enter in, and there's other things that we can do to address this issue, because we have a whole generation that's coming up with dealing with both anger and anxiety, and they're anxious about what could happen and angry about what did happen. And I think we as the church, as a rescue mission for salvation, can also, you know, promote hope in Christ, but also help connect them to both medical, psychological professionals, and agencies that are really helpful. So, yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Yes.
And hope for more of it. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a lot more in those areas that we can do, and especially because it's affecting so many kids and students. And I know we're coming up on Suicide Prevention Month, and I know in Northeast Ohio, last year in one school district alone, they had like 4 or 5 suicides of students. It was heartbreaking. And I was so thankful for our church and a group of churches that came together and put together a forum hosted for parents and educators and community members to help families get the resources and to learn about them, because most people don't know. But it was hitting so close to home that people were calling the church saying, hey, what do we do? And it was nice to know that people were actually calling the church.
That's right. Yep.
But we need to be able to be more of that. And like Nick said earlier, even the parenting things, you know, if you want to connect with a family, I personally think there's nothing better than saying, hey, we can offer you some things that will help you do parenting better. It's not going to make you a perfect parent, but we can help you do it better. We can help you feel like you're going to win more than you're losing. And if you boost those kind of posts out there on Facebook and share them with all the mommy groups and all those kind of things, you're going to make yourself a resource a lot more to families. And that, I guess that's, I'll throw my trend in there. That's one of the things I'm hoping to see more of, is more of those kind of ways that we're trying to get connected with the community in a way to say, hey, let's meet some real needs that are out there. So that's good stuff, fellas. Well, I know both of you guys are pretty passionate about developing leaders as well, and that's part of what Ministry Boost is doing, is having these tribe conversations. I'm wondering, when it comes to specifically, since this is Kid Ministry Collective, we're going to focus more on kids and families than student side of things. What do you see that's going really well in those worlds right now? I mean, we kind of hit some of that kind of stuff a little bit, but when it comes specifically to children's ministry and family ministry, how are you feeling like, you know, maybe this is in your own church, but what are you seeing that people are doing really well right now? Where do you see that we've got some traction going?
Kevin, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I think there's three things, Tom, and it's, I think the aspect of small groups and discipleship, there's a lot of people that have never given that up, but then there's a lot more people that, like, the trend was, like, let's make everything cool, more of an attraction model, and then I see this trend of, no, we actually want to have a developing leader in the life of every kid and student. So I think the small group stuff is awesome. Once again, connecting with parents, how do we partner with them? Whether it's the protection of the kid, of their kids, the education of their kids, and the partnering with them to be the biggest discipleship influence in their kids' lives. So I think, I think those two things are awesome, and I'm really excited about that. So
cool.
Small group was the first thing I thought of too. It was like one of the examples they gave of trends. Or, you know, new things, even though it's not new, because now churches have been doing it for a long time. But, like that church I was with this week, some people have done it for a few years, and it's actually one of the best parts of the ministry now. You know what I mean? And in fact, when I see, like, a student ministry, children's ministry, both, a good small group structure and model for churches that are using that is so strong, it can make up for all kinds of other things that you still need to work on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because if you have that and the kids have the place to belong and they love their group and it's a great experience, then you have time to work on the other pieces that go with it. Now, I think the best case is it's both. There's a little bit of this amazing large group, attractional, whatever, and I know some people don't like that word, but this idea that I'm drawn to church as a kid, I want to run there, I'm excited for it, I don't want to miss, I come to the same. But then I also love the stories in our church of those kids that they come to the same service every week because that's their group, and their parents would not come to the early service if it was their choice, but their kid wants to be with that leader who's at the first service. So I think that's a big one. I also think I'm seeing more and more networking You know, mm-hmm. and that's what we obviously we're passionate about that with Mitchell, because we're going to do that even more. But even without anything we've done, I just feel like now, compared to 5 years ago, people are so much more networked. And obviously, social media technology has played a part. But I also think there's even a sense of desire to be more networked, if that makes sense.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think a lot of leaders are starting to realize they don't have to do ministry alone, and they're making efforts to say, you know, hey, is there anybody in my community that want to get together and have lunch mm-hmm. and talk? I think that is so cool to see more communities doing it. I think we're seeing church world take more advantage of the technology that we have, and do, like you said, what Ministry Boost is created to do is bring groups of people, tribes together, and have conversations to talk about what are we doing well, what aren't we doing well. I'm kind of like what we're doing right now, just having a conversation between three leaders to say, yeah, we're doing this really good right now, and you know what, here's some things that we're not doing so well, and here's some things that maybe we need more focus. In fact, let me ask that. As you've been starting in, I think you guys kind of have a decent idea of the pulse of where some areas that leaders are struggling right now, and need more focus, or you know, where does the church need to put a little more energy into?
Yeah, I'll answer that. I think I don't think any of these are new. I don't think they're any landmark kind of declarations. I think that. Obviously, the one we always struggle with is volunteers. You know, the aspect of defining what leadership is, how do I recruit more volunteers? And anybody who's been doing this more than a month will tell you, like, I don't need more volunteers, I need more good volunteers. And mm-hmm. how do I filter that out? How do I retain them and care for them? What happens when, like, I've got one, how do I even let one go, you know, from serving and all of that stuff? And I think the coaching structures and intentionality with that is awesome. But I think those are the questions of, like, how do I lead volunteers? I think the other thing is, even with staff, whether it's volunteer staff, part-time staff, I'm seeing a lot more people use part-time staff, specifically in children's ministry, which I think is a really great idea, because sometimes you can get somebody who either it's a mom that wants to stay home and be with her kids, but can give 10, 15 hours a week, and you're going to get quality, and you're going to get competency, and you're going to do that. I think, how do I structure that, though? Because that person can't be at every staff meeting. It can't be at every, you know, leadership development kind of thing.
Right.
So I think, like, volunteers and staffing is always a question. How do I align? You know, we talked about that before. The plus is that I see this intentional alignment. The difficult struggle is, well, how do you do that? How do you align my children's ministry? Whether you're multi-site or one site, how do you align so that even volunteers are following the vision and the direction that either your senior pastor has laid out, or that you as the staff person has kind of directed? So that alignment, the aspect, leadership development, volunteers, all of that, I think just it's the same thing of dealing with people, right? You know, I mean, that's the component that we've got some tools to make us a little bit more effective and efficient in that. But at the end of the day, it's still a struggle for any of us to, like, man, how do you continue to honor God and honor the community that you're in with the people that you serve with?
Yeah.
I think about, I'm just going off recent memory of churches that I've worked with, or even people that have taken the volunteer playbook course with me. Part of it is you have to evaluate, and this is with under the volunteer realm, so it's not like your whole ministry, but you talk about the training or the structure, communication, culture, different things. And every time that I've had a group go through it, training is one of the lowest rated things. So people grade themselves the worst on volunteer training than they do anything else. So I imagine that's clearly an area, which makes sense. It's one of those things where it's not necessarily you don't need it every week, right? It's not Sunday urgent. And so then it just keeps passing by. You don't give the time to it. Most leaders, most of us know what it's like to have a training that we bring people to and not even have the people show up. You know what I mean?
So right.
That wasn't a surprise, but that was one of the lowest rated. Structure is another one I think that needs more attention, or and even beyond structure, just the idea that how can I get other volunteers to lead other volunteers and take some of that burden off of me? You know, so a lot of people will lead 20 or 30 or 40, 50 volunteers by themselves directly, you know, and I did that. There was a point when I had 60 children's ministry volunteers at our church had grown, and I was leading them terribly, you know what I mean, because I can't lead 60 people well. Right. So that's one that I see people struggle with as well is the training structure. People generally, too, when I'm thinking about that rating again, wouldn't rate as high on culture either, like our volunteer culture. That one's just a little harder, though, right? Like that one's a little more specific and tangible. Culture's a little bit harder to get a grasp on. But those are some of the things that at least people have said they have a hard time with. And I get that because we've had similar experiences, you know, yeah, in our church and in my leadership, too, where there's like, yeah, training gets the last bit of our attention. It's not what we want to be.
So before we get into, I want to talk a little bit more about the ministry boost stuff, but I want to ask one more specific question because Nick, you kind of hit it. Well, both of you hit it. So a lot of our listeners are going to be in the smaller churches, the 500 and less type people where they may even be part-time. And just like you said, Nick, they're struggling of how do I get volunteers to raise their capacity? And I know you guys, you know, are pretty passionate about and have done well in developing other leaders. So what advice would you give if a small church pastor came to you and said, hey, I'm struggling. How do I get somebody to move from a volunteer, just a entry, and I don't mean this in a negative, but an entry-level volunteer to a high-capacity volunteer or a high-capacity volunteer to moving into a high-capacity leader of volunteers. What would you kind of say would be the steps, or how would you move somebody and help them break through? Because I know sometimes they think, I don't have anybody, and that's oftentimes why leaders are struggling and they're doing everything on their own, because either they're a control freak, which you can listen to the podcast I did with Nick about me being a control freak. So
I thought you were calling me a control freak. And I was like, oh, that's true.
Oh, no. I've already confessed I'm a recovering control freak, and I still struggle with it. And I used to be that of well, it's me. It's, if not me, then who? And I don't have any who's, so I'm just going to keep doing it myself. So what advice would you give to say, okay, hey, look, I want you to change your mindset. Here's a couple steps you can take to move somebody to that next level. I'm just curious what you guys do to do that.
I was just in this conversation. I think the first one is clarity. So my first step would say be clear. I think the problem is we sit down and say, oh, we have these next level opportunities, but what are they? If they're not in your head, if they're not documented, you know, then you're going to have an issue knowing what the map is. Like, nobody likes job descriptions or like stuff like that, but they're important because they say, hey, here's the next step for you. So if you're an average volunteer, I think it's like, hey, to know that there's a next step and there's some clear ways of what that is, and it's not just, hey, more responsibility. That's part of it, but there's some clarity. So I think be clear. I think the second one is be patient. A lot of times we want like someone, hey, you've been doing this 2 months, and they think, man, now you can be a coach, or you can be a supervisor, you can be, you know, a service coordinator. So it takes different. It takes people different times, and your culture or your structure may be different. So some people may excel in your structure because it's more based on safety and people flow and it's really structured. And some other people may struggle with that because it's too structured. So I think there's that. Be patient, and then the last one is always be encouraging. I think most volunteers, when they come to the table, they want to know a few things. I think the first one of it is they want to know, is there some sense of champion? Does somebody really want me here, or do they just need me here? And I think that's a huge aspect of, like, encouragement. Like, I have to be super intentional. Like, one of my things is every week I have, like, I call them the threes. On Monday, I write either 3 emails or 3 handwritten notes to volunteers or staff, and they're random, and they're intentional, and, like, I'm probably sharing like behind the screen a little bit too much, but like if I don't, I'll think about it, but I won't do it if I don't know where they're at. So I've got to be so intentional about being encouraging. I think the other aspect, when good volunteers want to know, is there another opportunity for me to grow? Is there some sense of, upward mobility. Staff is the same way. People come on and like, hey, if I'm a team player, is there a way for me to be like a lead team player? Is there a way for me to be a coach? Is there a way for me to be a director? At where we're at, we have team players, we have directors, we have coaches, we have captains, we have, you know, service coordinators. We have it where almost you can't tell who's a volunteer and who's a staff person because we've got some high capacity people. But that takes some time and it takes some encouragement and it definitely takes some clarity to develop that leadership pipeline to get people to the next level.
Good stuff.
That's good. I think it's something our pastor said before. He feels like he read it somewhere, but he never knows where, and I've never seen it, so I don't know. But he talks about the idea that leadership in some ways is about creating space. What he means is creating space and opportunity for other people to lead. Mm. And this is so true in children's ministry world. If we are doing everything, well, of course nobody's going to lead. And yep. So the thing I'll always tell somebody who's in children's ministry is, who do you call on like when you have to when you do take that one Sunday off a year, even though it should be more, you know, but when you're gone, who fills that gap for you?
Yeah,
that might be somebody that can lead. Yeah. And then you got to help them. You really got to help them because that's one of the worst things you could do is give somebody a lot of authority and responsibility, but then not help them. People have enough stress and anxiety about stepping into a bigger leadership role already that the last thing we can do is put them in there and then set them up to fail, you know, mm-hmm. because we didn't tell them what they need to know. And the reality is, if you're going to lead through other people and develop them, you really do have to be more prepared. You know what I mean? You have to explain that in advance because not only are you going to do it, but you're going to communicate with them how they can do it. And so now you need to be backed up in your planning and your preparation. You may have to write the job description, like Kevin talked about, to get that clarity. So I think you have to put in the work for a season. You have to definitely put in more work. But then in the long run, I mean, you reap the benefits that far outweigh that, right? So for a season, you might be doing a job and somebody else is, you're training them to do the job too. So you're leading them and you're still doing it. You're writing job descriptions. You're meeting with them one-on-one, reading a book together or something, helping develop them. And so for a season, it's more work. I mean, it's just the reality. But then as they're developed and they take that over, well, now that's off your plate. Yeah. And that extra, you know, 15 hours you gave now buys you hundreds of hours number of years. So I think that's big. Another practical one, though, is, and I've heard a lot of, I mean, I know a lot of leaders who do this and they all love it, is can you get together a leadership team of volunteers? You know, whether it's 3-4 people. I used to have, it was about 8 when I was leading children's ministry by myself. And that group, our coaches came from that group eventually. And we just met once a month and we didn't meet every month. You know, we take off summer, you know, December. And so we probably met, I don't know, it was 8 times a year. And I would just, we'd read something together. We'd discuss something. We'd plan some things. But it really was mostly about developing them as a group. And you can do that one-on-one. But we had kind of a cool community that was created among that group. And they just were such great leaders. And still are. You know, most of them are still in leadership positions in our ministries. And so that's what I would say. There's some ideas.
Cool.
That's cool.
Good stuff, guys. All right. So we've been teasing about this whole thing, ministry boost, and I want to spend the last few minutes we have talking about this. You guys, and we mentioned Kenny Conley. He's down in, is he Texas now? Is that right?
Yeah,
he was. He's Arizona now.
Arizona, Phoenix. That's right. See, I can't even keep up with the guy. He's just like all over.
His heart is still in Texas, along with his barbecue, his love of barbecue. And tacos.
Yeah, if you haven't followed Kenny, start following him and you will learn all about barbecue and tacos. That's true.
I've got a friend in Texas right now, and I gave him the taco recommendation that Kenny had given me a long time ago. Yeah, I had to spread the wealth.
Woohoo! There you go. All right. But anyway, you guys have developed Ministry Boost. Tell us a little bit about what it is, what's its purpose, and what do you guys have going right now?
Well, I think Ministry Boost is a lot easier just kind of tell you a little bit about the background. I mean, we're just 3 next-gen pastors. We've been friends for about, 5 years now, Nick, or so, and probably you and Penny a little bit later. And I think very early on, we realized that like we were just learning from each other, and there's we have a group of about 15 or so next-gen pastors all over the country and in Canada too, and that we connect with and are really good friends with. But we all learned really quick that man, like my strength is that person's weakness, and my weakness may be somebody else's strength. But we realize that, man, there's a lot of great things about conferences and about coaching and all of that stuff, and we want to share that. And it just came to a point of even the name was the aspect of most people just need a little boost of where they're at, whether it's social, we know ministry can be a very lonely, exhausting place, and sometimes you just need somebody to laugh with you or even laugh at you. We just were like, man, how do we connect people together? Once in a little bit to just sit with like-minded ministry professionals and just learn and know from each other. Or some people need like coaching and direction and say, hey, new to this, how do we help? I need a community. I feel like maybe I'm even alone on my staff, because we all know this. I've been there. There's churches where it's like, all right, here's your keys, here's your fob, go win.
Yeah.
And we don't know the next step, and we don't know. So it's like having somebody come in and help you on a personal level, and you can tech so easy. Things like Zoom and Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all of that stuff, it's really for us to people. And so all of that will help them go further, faster, develop their ministry and grow from one another and learn from one another and network with one another. So, so that's kind of starting what it's about. I'm sure Nick can tell you a little bit about what we're doing.
Yeah, Kevin mentioned the 15 or so friends that we have that are interested pastors, and we do a video call each month to connect and learn from each other. I think one thing we've all learned is most people don't have that tribe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Tom, you do, right? Because you've been to different conferences. You and I have a lot of the same friends that you've connected with. You go on trips, you know, some friends in ministry. And I just think that's the exception. I think most people don't have that. I think most people don't get coaching.
Yep.
And so the way we talk about it is we offer training through courses, coaching in cohort groups of 10 to 12 people, and consulting, which is obviously a deeper relationship with your church and a more long-term thing where we come alongside you in a partnership, and you get some of the other things with that. But I talk about the coaching as it's where you can find a real community, right, because it's a longer-term, six-month thing, and even longer if you wanted to do it more. And we partner with ULEAD to offer those, so there's 7 coaching groups this fall, but you're going to get more community there. And generally speaking, the conversations are going to be more strategic than tactical, right? So it's going to be a little bit more of the 20, 30,000 foot level than the in the weeds level. The courses, though, are in the weeds. And my experience is that's where people really want a lot of help.
Right.
So I think, I mean, for me, I like both. So I've loved coaching networks I've done with Tony Morgan and other folks like that. That's been great. And even in there, we talk in the weeds, and you would in coaching groups too. But the courses are like, hey, pick what you want to work on. Is it partnering with parents? Is it recruiting volunteers? Is it implementing coaches? Or maybe it's aligning your next gen team or something like that. And this course will be very practical. You know, it's going to have resources, documents. You're going to share things with each other. It's going to walk you through step by step how to do it. And then our thinking is we can all kind of work on this. Like if you're in a course with 20 other people or something, you're all working out together, helping each other go further, faster, and having some accountability. Because let's face it, most of us have very little time left in our week to work on the ministry, you know, because we're spending so much time preparing for Sunday and everything else.
Right.
So at least having a group that you're doing some things with give you a better chance of actually finishing that project or, you know, improving that one area of your ministry. So that's what we do. We're excited it launches here in October is when everything really kicks off. So sign-ups and all that. Close next week. I don't know when this is posting, but at the end of September, sign-ups close. So, yeah, we're excited. It's the first run. We've done it before. We've done all of this in some capacity, but now we're just bringing it under one banner under the name Ministry Boost.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Well, I know some people may struggle with, you know, because I know when I've had people call me and say, hey, I'd like you to coach me, and then you know, then they get concerned about the dollars. And I've always told people, look, the best investment I ever made was not going to a conference. I love conferences. I'm a conference junkie. I try to get to a lot of them, as many as I can get to. And that's where I build my network, and I've met a lot of great people. But the best investment I ever made was when I got into a coaching program. And I paid out of pocket. It cost me. I mean, but it was worth every penny, and it was something that if you ask me now, I would have done – I wished I would have done – 20 years ago, instead of waiting till I was, you know, well into my ministry years before I took it. But even somebody like me, I learned so much more. And it's helped me take my leadership, I feel like, to another level, and where I've got more confidence and I'm better organized and I've, you know, hopefully I'm leading others well. So I know people will ask that question. Why do you think coaching is worth the investment? I know what it is for me. Why is it to you guys? What do you think coaching is worth the investment in yourself?
Good question. I'm like you. I've done a number of different coaching things, and I've had to invest most of my own money in that. I remember the first coaching network I did use some of my staff development money that I fortunately had that year. We don't have that every year. But, I mean, it didn't even cover a fourth of the cost because it was a fairly expensive coaching thing, far more than what we were charging with Ministry Boost. And that was okay because it was worth it even more so. In fact, I did a second one with the same coach and kind of ended up with a different group. I think for me, you mentioned a lot of what it is. You just get that wisdom and that community, the connections. Some of it, though, I think maybe one of the biggest things is because there's a lot of information out there you can learn through a course, with Ministry Boost. You can learn through a podcast or whatever. The thing that it gave me that nothing else really gives you is the connection with other people that then that's going to bear fruit forever, right? So, like, I could email or text or call a number of different people now that I never would have imagined knowing personally
right.
8 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Tom, Jim Weidman. Yep. Now, Jim knows everybody. But there's a lot of people who look at Jim. I mentioned Jim's name this week, and somebody's joked like I was a name dropper. And yeah. I was thinking, I can get where you think that because Jim's amazing and everybody knows him and all that. But you know what? Jim did coaching for a long time. And he's got, in my opinion, he's the guy that did it the best in this world, in children's, and student ministry world for years. And man, just the value of that, of being able to have that kind of connection so that you can continue to learn from their experience. I think that's probably the number one thing. And I don't regret any investment that I've made there.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll continue. I mean, I'll continue to get coaching and invest in that. But, I'm biased probably, I guess, because it's been so good.
Yeah.
And I even the tools that I've learned, because when I got certified in StratOp, which is just the strategic planning thing, that was a huge investment, financially, that I didn't know if it would ever pay off. Right. But I get to use it all the time now. It definitely makes me a better leader, for sure. Mm-hmm. But there is a cost to it, no doubt. It's just worth it.
Yeah.
What Nick said. Pretty much anything. I mean, I think I think the thing is we can't pour out what we're not taking in.
Yeah.
And I think being able to do that in an environment where there's somebody else who's going to have some good capacity, some great connections, but there's also some good confidentiality. Oh, I just did 3 C's. You can't get the Baptist out of me. But I think those three things are awesome, right? Because you need that community and that confidentiality is a lot of us have coaching that we do at maybe at our church or somebody needs to pour in, but to have a place that person has a vested interest in you over the vested interest of your position, I think is super valuable. And then you'll reciprocate that by being a better coach to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many times I've been in coaching things and I still get coached from colleagues. I learn from other people, and it's amazing to take things and then just other people, and it allows you to also someone step up, and you don't have to reveal who your source is, who you got it from. Like it's this sense of using the best idea of win, and I think it's so important for all of us to continue growing and learning.
Yeah, yeah.
I would add too, Tom. You mentioned the dollars and the cost. It does cost, coaching for us is, with us and you, Lee, specifically, is $100 a month for 6 months. That's a lot of money. My first coaching group was, much more than that. So I know there's going to be people who can't do that, which I totally get. I got an email this week from somebody who wanted to sign up for the preschool course we're doing with Ministry Boost, but didn't have the money in the budget right now, wanted to know if we were offering it down the road. It's like, yeah, absolutely, we're going to offer it a few times a year, so it'll probably be back in January. However, we're aware of that, so we're trying to do things that are free as well, always. Mm-hmm. So we did these tribe conversations where you just get on and talk with other leaders, or you watch other leaders have a conversation about topics related to your ministry. Obviously, the podcast, there's going to be courses where there'll be a much, you know, there'll be different price points, and there'll probably be times when we give certain things away there or give a sneak peek to something that usually is something that people pay for. So I think do something, I guess, would be my recommendation. I totally get the idea. I didn't do that strat-op training for 2 years because of the cost.
Right.
I had to save for 2 years for it, and then they raised it $1,000, which was unfortunate. but part of me was like, okay, I need to do it now. Like, yeah, I need to do it now before it goes up again. So I get that, but make sure you do something, you know, even if it's just engaging in some of the free things that are out there, not just with us, but with anyone.
Yeah, right, right. Well, guys, thanks so much, and thanks for sharing your hearts with us, and you've given some good stuff. I'm sure people are going to get some good takeaways from this, and I do hope people will check it out. You know, it's all about I've had people say, well, Tom, you know, you do coaching, and why do you promote other coaches? Because I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I believe that as a kingdom, we work so much better together, and there's so much wisdom, and yeah, I'll confess I'm a little jealous. I'm not part of Ministry Boost completely, because I would love to be a part of that, but I'm also offering things that are different, and you guys are offering things that are different, and there's other coaching programs out there. No matter what, guys, if you're listening to this, my hope is that you'll start saying, hey, I'm worth investing in, and I wouldn't be afraid to ask your church. Ask your pastor, hey, is there any way that I could get some funds? So because I want to grow, I want to be the best leader I can be. Can you help me? If your church won't invest in you, well, then have your pastor call me and we'll have a come to Jesus meeting. Because I think that's wrong. But even if they won't, don't worry about it. Don't get hung up on it. Like Nick said, he saved for 2 years to do it, and maybe it'll cost you more. Maybe you sell off some stuff. You know, if you want something, you're going to go after it. If you want to be a better leader, you're going to take that time to invest in yourself. And I know some leaders that say, well, I can listen to podcasts. I can read books. That's enough. No, it's not. It really isn't. I used to do that. And it wasn't until I said, I'm going to invest. And I'm investing in myself more and want to continue to grow because I want to be a better coach. I want to be a better pastor. And I think that's important. So, guys, where can people go to get more information about Ministry Boost? And then also give us your contact info that you're willing to share of how people could follow up with you if they have questions.
Sure. Ministry Boost is easy, just ministryboost.org. And we're Ministry Boost on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And people can email me if they want, nick@nicklovins.com. And, you know, I check that all the time. And, you know, I just love the conversations we get to have. Usually, more lately, I don't know if I'm just getting older, but I'm like, how about we just do a call? How about we just do a call? I don't feel like typing all that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know Kevin loves that. Kevin loves talking with people.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for sure.
You can definitely hit Kevin up, too.
Yeah. I'm partnered with both my partners at Ministry Boost are writers, and I am not. ministryboost.org is the best place. You can reach me at kevin@ministryboost.org. So kevin@ministryboost.org. And we'd love to just like connect, and if there's any questions or anything, information about it. And that's the best way to do it.
Awesome.
Here's what's funny. He says we're the writers and he's not, and he's the PhD and we're not. So how did that happen?
Ooh.
Like, how did you get the PhD without writing? And the master's degree.
He
can write enough, probably. Who knows? But I refer people to Kevin all the time. And we've had that with Ministry Groups already where somebody just wants, they're new to this role or whatever, they want to talk. And I'm like, you got to talk with Kevin. So not to fill your schedule, Kevin, but people should reach out if they want to talk about something because you're a great resource.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I love doing that. And great.
Well, hey, guys, thanks again. And thanks again, folks, for listening to the KMC podcast. We'll meet up again with another great episode that hopefully will bless you. As always, feel free. We'd love to have some reviews on iTunes, on Apple Play, or on Google Play, wherever. Make a comment in the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group about what you've taken away from this episode. And like I say, check out Ministry Boost and get into some coaching. Take advantage of their webinars. I'm sure you'll see me on there because I sign up for a bunch of them. because I've been enjoying the conversations. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again on the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.